everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie. I'm your host. I'm so happy to be here. If you are listening live, it is already the 9th of September at about, what do we got, 11 a.m. Pacific time? I've been working really hard today. I don't know what to tell you. I also want to welcome you if you're listening to an archive or a replay. I want to let you know we're over in the chat room. And you can find that by heading over to 12radio.com. Click on the chat button and you'll be redirected into the Facebook chat. You'll see my banner there at the top of the page. And you're welcome to make comments or ask questions there. If you would rather watch the live stream, you can do that by heading over to YouTube or Facebook and look for Katie Weaver Domestic Mystic. And you'll see the stream happening as we speak. So that's the way to do it. Though I did have a note from my streamer this morning that they were struggling with Facebook business pages for some reason. So I might not be streaming on Facebook today. I don't know. The streamer says I am, but you know, technology. It's far from foolproof. So that's what I know. Oh my gosh. How are you guys? Everyone doing well? Hanging in there? How did you do with that full moon? We were camping up in the mountains over the weekend, and that full moon was amazing where we were. Oh my gosh. It was wild. It looked full on Friday night, though it wasn't full until Sunday. But it looked full on Friday night. It was so big. Saturday night, fantastic. Went home Sunday afternoon, so I can't tell you beyond that. But this trip, we always take usually the week after Labor Day. And I swear nearly every time the moon is full or very close to it. And it's just really, you know, beautiful and bright up there. There is no, there's no pollution, light pollution, except for what we're creating in our own campsite. And so you can really get away from that easily and really have a big look at the bright stars. You know, you got to fight with the trees, but that seems reasonable. This trip was fun because there were a ton of wild turkeys around. And I've been camping in this place for decades, and I have never seen any wild turkeys down in there. Up above there, up in the mountains above there, where we like to pick huckleberries and gather rose petals in the summer and dig osha in the fall. Probably about time to dig osha. And gather rose hips. Almost time for that, too. Osha and rose hips are supposed to be gathered after the first big frost. So, waiting a little bit, but it's probably frozen up there. I got up yesterday morning when I got up to feed the crows at about 8 o'clock. I could see my breath outside. So we're cooling down quite a bit at night. So I don't know. Probably give it a little bit more time. But anyway, besides that, so we usually see wild turkeys up there. But down by the river where we were, I've never seen them. And there were wild turkeys all over the place. Mamas, babies, toms. And our campsite was full of feathers, especially like obviously we're from babies that were just coming into their full fledges. Anyway, super fun. I think turkeys are so funny and cute. So that was pretty cool. Also, my chicken hens have now started laying. So we're gathering eggs from the guineas now as well as the hens. So that's exciting. I wish you all lived here because I'm going to have more eggs than we know what to do with. Way more eggs than we know what to do with. I'm hoping that food banks around here accept farm eggs because I don't know what we're going to do with all these eggs. But anyway, we're going to have a lot, super a lot. Of course, you know, I never feel like with a new flock, you really get to their full laying potential until the following spring. So I'm expecting here in the next couple of weeks to start gathering 8 to 10 eggs a day. And if everyone overwinters okay, I would say by April, we're probably gathering closer to 20 eggs a day. Do we eat 20 eggs a day? No. Do we eat 2 eggs a day? We don't. So I don't know what we're going to do with all these eggs. Except for give them to people who need them. That's what's going to happen. Yep. At any rate, good to see you all. I've been working on some fun stuff. I don't know if I told you guys this, but I'm designing my bathroom, our center bathroom. I used to call it the kids' bathroom, you know? But now it's, I guess you'd call it our guest bathroom, but we use it all. We use it quite a lot. But at any rate, I'm building a ghost bathroom. So everything in there is going to be ghost. And you know me, that won't just be, for this time of year, it'll be year round. And it's turning out so cute. But I finally hung a piece. I have lots of pieces en route that I'm making. I made a ghost soap dish last week that is currently drying so that I can get it into the kiln so that I can then continue on with it. So I have lots of things that are kind of slowly happening, but I'll show you something that is finally done and hung up. Very encouraging. It's this cute girl right here. So it's a laser file that we cut with our laser engraver. And it's two pieces that you paint one white, one black, and fit them together. And I just think she is so freaking precious. Isn't she cute? The designer I bought the file from, there was actually four, I think, four files. I'm super tempted to cut some more of them. Are they not adorable? But one of the things I'm making that I'm so excited about. No, cute ghosts. Cute ghosts, Pamela. One thing I'm making, I'm so excited about. We've been pouring a lot of slip cast plaster or ceramics. And we bought out a bunch of molds in Boise recently and went and picked them up. And one of the things that was in there was these molds that these were things like I could remember my grandma having on the wall. They're round. They kind of look like a plate. They have like leaves or flowers or something, a design on the outside, and then the center inside people would like decoupage a picture onto them. You know what I'm talking about? All right. Well, I got four of those in this set. The thing is with slip casting, the molds are typically vintage because not a lot of people make them anymore. And so a lot of the stuff that we're pouring are molds that are from the 70s, excuse me, 60s, 70s, and 80s, which I personally think is fun as hell. And the these are super fun. They're from the 60s, these molds are. So anyway, we poured them, and right now they're just drying so that they can go in the kiln. So after you pour a slip cast, you can't put it in the kiln for at least a week, maybe two, if you're being super cautious. And that's for its first trip to the kiln for what's called bisque. So you heat it up to, I think the kiln goes on that about 1850, 1850 Fahrenheit. And then when that cools down and comes out of the kiln, then you can glaze it or paint it or do whatever you want to it. And then it goes back in the kiln for the full firing, which is about 2250. So or cone six for pottery people. Anyway, so they're in bisque right now. But what I'm doing with them is I created some pictures that are ghosts in. Actually, I could share a picture with you that'll be similar, but they are ghosts in wildflowers. They're really cute. Let's see. I'll share a cuter one with you. All right. Sorry. Moving slow. So it'll be pictures like this, something similar, but they'll be round and they'll be mounted on there. And then I've ordered convex glass to attach over top of them. So they'll be like the old-fashioned pictures, you know, with the convex glass on them. And they're so damn cute. So, anyway. That's what I'm working on. I'm also making a nightlight out of glass, a ghost nightlight out of glass. And we're embroidering a bunch of hand towels that are a ghost design that's really freaking cute. So anyway, by the time I'm done, this entire bathroom will be ghosts, and most of it will be made by me. So, oh, I also have these cute little ghosts that are also out of clay that I made last week that are drying for the kiln that are going to be hung on the shower curtain rod, the shower curtain rod clips. It'll have all these little ghosts hanging across it. So I already have a ghost rug in there and a ghost shower curtain. So this will all just fit together. So anyway, when it's done, I'm sure I'll give you a big tour of it, but that's what I'm working on with that, just for fun. I'm also working on a ton of stuff for our last Halloween market of the year. The Witch's Market is on the 12th of October, so it's a little bit more than a month away, but I'm trying to get a bunch of ceramics and pottery ready for that. And I don't have much of anything done to show you guys right now, but I will have pretty soon. I've been working on the cutest casserole dishes you've ever seen, as well as some mugs and some other fun stuff. But one of the fun things that has come out of, we've bought a bunch of molds out from a few different people. That's kind of how you get them anymore. I just watch Marketplace, but anyway. We've gotten two different Christmas mug molds that are so dang cute. One of them is an elf shoe. That's my favorite. But there's also an old time Santa that is super cute. We actually also got a little poinsettia, but the mug is tiny. It's like super tiny. Hey, Maya. Oh, good. Facebook is working. Good to see it. Anyway, so we always host Christmas Eve. And that's our family is about, depending on if a spouses, boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever come. We're a group of about 23 right now, 25 if we can talk my in-laws into coming, because they usually don't have Christmas Eve plans, so we try to include them in ours, but we're a big loud bunch, you know. So anyway, I thought it would be really fun because I always do a signature cocktail of some sort and some kind of a fun, you know, cup presentation or whatever. So this year I'm making everyone their own mug. So you'll get a mug that we, you know, made from the ground up, from clay all the way to painting it and firing it and personalizing it with your name, and that'll be your cup for the night for your signature cocktail. So anyway, I'm excited about that. That's fun. However, this is going to be a shit ton of painting work, so I don't know. We'll see how detailed I get on painting those, or if they all just get glazed a really cute color. We'll find out. But anyway, that's pretty much what I'm working on. I have a bunch of glass projects that are kind of partly done that I just need to sit down with and finish up. So, yeah, just trying to be ready for my next fair and put some things together that are meaningful. And yeah, that's what's up. Anyway, I'm gonna refresh the other chat room. I can see you guys here. Okay, good. Somebody messaged me or posted on my Facebook page that it seems like we're really going towards as 1-2 Radio, we're really pushing towards streaming our shows on YouTube, and that's correct. A lot of our hosts are doing that now, and we're continuing to push that direction. So, oh, Lillian, I can probably help you with that. I've got a bunch of different mugs that are en route. So when I get a few done, we can talk. You can see if I have anything you like. Yeah. All righty. Well, let's pull up a Luminous. I think, in my opinion, I have a really fun topic today. I was thinking about the use of light and lanterns in spirituality and how that seems to go along with a fall, autumn type theme in different cultures, and how interesting that is to me personally. So, would that mean that 1-2 Radio would shut down completely? No. Most people are they're streaming their shows, but they also are doing them via 1-2 Radio. But a A lot of the shows are streaming now, though, and we're kind of, want listeners to get to have the whole experience by, watching the stream. So no, One Two Radio is not going anywhere. I'm sorry if I indicated that. That's not happening. All right, let's take a look at Luminous then. So I called this week's magazine the Autumn Lanterns Through Time Edition, because that's what I was thinking about. Lanterns and light and spirituality and fall, they kind of go hand in hand. I love lanterns, and one of the reasons I thought about this is because I'm working on making some lanterns for our fall event, and that are fall or Halloween or Samhain themed, and I thought that's it's an interesting topic. So I did some research, and of course, the first thing that it led me to was jack-o'-lanterns. And I learned some stuff that maybe you guys know and maybe you don't, but I thought this was super interesting. I mean, obviously, ancient people carried lanterns because they needed light. We tend to carry, we have a lot of artificial light around us, but we also, if you need a light, what's the first thing you do? Personally, I just flip on the flashlight on my cell phone, which is probably similar to what you guys do. That I always have light with me in my pocket, in my hand. If not, maybe you have a big flashlight, right? But we don't have to wander around in the dark with lanterns anymore, though you could if you wanted to. And I love a lantern like camping out on the table or to get back and forth to the camper with after you've decided to say good night and leave the campfire. But lanterns have a lot more connotations than that. So with Celtic groups, roots, we're talking about the turnip. This always slays me because if you ever cut up a turnip, those bastards are hard as rock. They, oh, well, not quite, but they're really woody. They are tough to cut. So every time I hear about, how the Celts and the ancient Irish and Scottish would carve turnips, it always slays me a little bit because holy shit, that's hard work. They would also carve root vegetables, other root ve vegetables as well, into lanterns during the festival of Samhain. And of course, that marked the end of the harvest and the beginning of the dark half of the year. By the way, are you guys noticing how dark it's getting earlier? Pretty interesting. Anyway, so hollowed turnips a lot of times would have carvings of eerie faces, and they were lit with glowing embers or candles, and a lot of times they were set outside of homes to ward off malevolent spirits. So the faces are supposed to ward off the the scary shit, the good folk or the fairy folk and things like that. So they also called them soul lights. But of course they were practical as well because they didn't have other light. These were used as lights. Have I ever tried a turnip? I have. Turnips are definitely an acquired taste. Sherry says yuck. The only time I've really liked turnips is like in a Irish restaurant that has like Culcannon potatoes or something like that that might have turnips in it. Otherwise, my uncle used to grow them. He sent us home with a whole bunch of them one time, and I just, first of all, they were so hard to cut and process and get through that my little weakling hands and arms couldn't do it. But yeah, I'm curious to know, do you guys eat turnips? Is that something that's regular for you? I know everybody's families and where you live and stuff, plays a little role in that. So I'm curious to know. All right. So, migration and the pumpkin's arrival. So, when did we go from jack-o'-lantern pumpkins to, or from jack-o'-lantern turnips to jack-o'-lantern pumpkins? Well, when Irish immigrants started coming to the US and bringing, or to North America and bringing Samhain customs, they discovered pumpkins. And you know what they learned? Surprisingly, pumpkins are a lot easier to cut than turnips. So is almost everything. So they started carving pumpkins with their crazy faces and stuff in them. And by the mid-1800s, the practice of carving pumpkins became a popular thing. Really, just merging Celtic protection rituals with American celebrations of Halloween that were kind of emerging at that time. So that's kind of how the marriage there happened. But that's all fine and good. But why is it called a jack-o'-lantern? Well, the folklore of Jack and his lantern. So this is an ancient Irish legend about Stingy Jack. Stingy Jack was a trickster whose greed and cunning landed him in eternal trouble. Oh, Jack. So, according to the tale, and there's quite a few different versions of this tale, so this is the most popular one, I think, but there's some spin-offs of that as well. Okay. So, according to the tale, he invited the devil over for a drink, but convinced him to turn into a coin so that Jack wouldn't have to pay. So, instead of buying the drinks, he pocketed the coin beside a silver cross, trapping the devil. So, he had a silver cross and the coin in his pocket and carried him around for a while, and then would only free the devil when he promised to. Made the devil promise not to take his soul. So apparently, he pulled some stupid shit on the devil and then got himself in trouble. When he died, heaven refused him entry because of his lie and the things that he did, and hell didn't want him because of what he did to the devil, and so he was cast out from both realms. And legend has it that he still wanders the earth in darkness. At some point, the devil mockingly tossed him a burning coal, from hell, and he placed it in a hollowed-out turnip to light his way. So from then on, he roamed as Jack of the Lantern or Jack o' Lantern. So, as legend have it, people were carving their own lanterns with frightening faces to keep Jack and other wandering spirits at bay. And then, of course, his story fused with Samhain customs over time, and we got the jack-o'-lantern. So there you go. All right. But it's not just the Celts. There's lantern traditions across the world in the fall, in China and East Asia. Lanterns are central to festivals like the Mid-Autumn Festival and the Lantern Festival at the end of the Lunar New Year. Families light paper lanterns to honor ancestors, symbolize reunion, and guide spirits safely home. The soft glow is believed to attract blessings and drive away misfortune. Right, Jack really, Jack screwed up. I'm sorry, Jack, but you did. In Japan, stone and paper lanterns called a toro line temple paths, often lit during Obon, a festival to honor ancestral spirits. The lantern light guides souls back to the spirit world after a brief visit among the living. In Mexico, during Dia de los Muertos, candles inside lanterns or luminaries light the way for the departed ones to return and visit their loved ones. The warm glow is not about warding off spirits, but welcoming them with joy and reverence. And then, of course, in India, the festival of Diwali. Lamps and lanterns symbolize the triumph of light over darkness and good over evil. Homes are decorated with glowing diyas and lanterns to protect against negativity and invite prosperity. So, obviously, throughout history, lamps are used in and lanterns are used in all kinds of interesting ways to honor ancestors, to scare off scary spirits, to invite spirits. You just got to decide what that looks like for you. So, here In current times, people carve pumpkins for fun mostly, but it could be folk magic for you if you chose to use it that way. If you put a jack-o'-lantern on your porch, it can be a charm of protection and remembrance. I mean, this is an act that stretches back from thousands of years, and also for many of you, probably have childhood memories of carving pumpkins with your parents. This is carving pumpkins in itself is an act that has, spans a lot of generations. So it could simply be, just kind of an act of a remembrance for your family and your family traditions for you. So, if you want to yourself tap into the deeper roots of the tradition this year, I have a few suggestions for you, and then my tip, I have a larger one, so we'll talk about that too. But first, you're going to carve with intention. As you cut your pumpkin, focus on what you wish to ward off: fear, negativity, or lingering shadows. You can use the light as a spell. When you put a candle inside, you can whisper a blessing of protection for your home. You can use your pumpkin to honor the ancestors. Dedicate one lantern to loved ones past, inviting them to draw near in love and peace. You can also carve other root vegetables if you choose. You can always give it a go. And there you go. That's some thoughts about lanterns and the lore of the jack-o'-lantern. I'd never heard that before. Maybe some of you had. That was new to me. All right, so moving on in Luminous. This is Refeminist History by Kelly. She has an article this week called Resistance Behind Barbed Wire. This is a quote from Marguerite Buber-Neumann. She is a German political prisoner and a survivor of World War II. She says, in Ravensbrook, Brooke, I think it's Brooke, right? In Ravensbrook, I saw women prove that solidarity, friendship, and compassion can survive even in the kingdom of death. Her story is mostly about the women of Ravensbrook. This is another Nazi concentration camp. It was one built specifically for women. Over 130,000 women were imprisoned there. And they found a lot of ways to resist. Really, really interesting stuff. So be sure that you read it. As we know, women in these parts of history have been mostly blotted out for the tales of men. There's a lot to learn. So I highly recommend that you read that article and just familiarize yourself with these women and their own bravery. Okay. I put together a pumpkin spell for protection and blessing. I thought this might be a fun way to do candles this year, or pumpkins. And I did this early in September because I feel like sometimes we cover stuff like this a little too close to the holiday, and it doesn't give you enough time, if you want to do something with it, to do that. So I'm trying to do a little bit better job with this and think ahead, right? Also, Scott finished putting up most of our Halloween stuff before we went camping. So we're pretty much decked out now. He just has a few of his bigger pieces that need some assembly to be put together, but mostly our Halloween is up. So, for a pumpkin carving spell for protection and blessing, you're going to need a pumpkin or a turnip if you'd rather. You'll need a carving knife and spoon, a candle or LED tea light. Normally, I'm not a big fan of the LED tea lights, but when you're talking about a lit candle on your steps, that's sometimes just a lot more practical, you know? A pinch of salt, then you'll need some herbs of protection. Basil, rosemary, sage, or bay work well, but you might come up with something else too, and that's fine. Marker or chalk. So here's the steps. First, you set your intention. You're going to hold your pumpkin, hold it up into your heart, and say aloud what you want it to do. This spell particularly was to protect your home, welcome your ancestors, or banish negativity. But you could come up with something completely different if you wanted. But speak clearly. With this lantern, I cast a spell of light, protection, and peace. May only love enter here. Then to prepare the pumpkin, obviously, you're going to do what we've always done. Cut open the top, scoop out the seeds and pulp. That's always a pretty big job. That was my least favorite job as a kid, digging it out. I hated that part. It grossed me out. Now, and I know some of you will hang on to your pumpkin seeds and use those in cooking, or you'll roast them or do whatever. Totally up to you. Personally, I will feed them to the pigs and the chickens because they will love it. But as you clean out your pumpkin, imagine that you're clearing away all stagnant energy and fear. Anything that you don't need anymore, we're clearing it out while we do this work. Then sprinkle a pinch of salt inside once you're done cleaning it out to purify the space. Then you're going to carve with purpose. So use your marker or your chalk to sketch your face or a symbol or a sigil or whatever it is that you want on your pumpkin. Or you might do multiple things. I mean, the pumpkin has multiple, you know, has plenty of area that you could carve multiple things. Carve slowly, focusing on your magical goal. This could be a whole afternoon endeavor, you know. For protection, try fierce eyes and a wide grin. For guidance, maybe carve stars or moons or ancestor symbols. That's totally up to you. You could even carve a name if you wanted. Whatever you want. You could carve a dollar sign, right? If you're working on abundance. This is up to you. Then dress the inside. So before you place the candle, tuck a few protective herbs inside the pumpkin. Whisper your intentions again as you place them. And then light the flame. So here's what I would do. If you're going to use an LED candle, which I would recommend in these, use a real candle the first time so that you really set your spell. And then as the season wears on, if you want to have an LED in there, I think you should. But when you light your candle, you're going to say, "Lantern of fire, lantern of night, guard this home with your light. Shadows pass, loves remain, only blessings shall remain." And then put it where you want it, in a doorway or a window. You decide. And just let it keep shining as a magical guardian throughout the season. And you'll know every time you look at it, the work that you put into it, what your intentions were, what the spell was. I love this one. This is a ton of fun. I will do this. Oh, yeah. The pigs will eat the pumpkins. Yeah. The pigs will also, and the chickens will too. The pigs are a little bit picky. They don't like anything in the broccoli / cabbage family. The only way you can trick them into eating broccoli or cauliflower is to dip it in ranch dressing. Don't ask me how I know. I've only tried it to see what would happen. But yeah, they will eat a lot of things. They don't like onions, but they will knock you unconscious for corn. Oh my God, corn. Oh, a Dremel tool. That's a great idea, Pamela. She said carving's too hard on the hands now. I hear that. But a Dremel tool is a great idea. Anyway, yeah, so they will, there are certain things that they'll go crazy for and some things that they won't eat, but, and then obviously they don't get meat. I gave them eggs the other day, some of the guinea eggs, and they were so freaked out. Fiona finally ate hers. But Zig was really weird about it. He kept running at it and sniffing it and leaping back like he thought this egg was going to kick his ass or something. I don't know. It was wild. But I would give them an occasional egg if they'll eat it because it's good for them. It's good for their coat. And their skin, because their skin can get really dry and weird. Sure. Tara said my sister used to only eat broccoli if I had made cheese sauce for it. Well, I mean, yeah, solidarity. No, just kidding. I like broccoli. But when Mars was little, she loved broccoli. And she called it broccamole. I don't know why. But it was broccamole, and she wanted it for every meal. You know how little kids, like 2, 3, maybe 4-ish, get stuck on a food? And for her, as a long time, it was broccoli. And she would cry for broccamole. We made it constantly because she wanted it, and it was good for her, and you'll eat it. So, hell yes. But also, she would eat it all. So, you better make sure everybody had some on their plate. If there were any leftovers of the broccoli, she would eat it all. She was crazy about broccamole. Yep. Scramble it. That's a good idea. If I scrambled them, I'm sure they would eat them. Raw, they were kind of wigged out. But I mean, I would be too. I would never eat a raw egg, so I guess maybe it was inconsiderate to think that they would. I don't know. Okay. Moving on. Christy's energy exercise this week is the Divine Spark. Over at True Crime Squad, we finally wrapped up the Donna Adelson trial last week on Friday. It was kind of exciting. They broke for, they did a. Oh, jury instructions in the morning, and then the state took her time, and then the defense took their time, and then the state followed up with 14 more minutes of rebuttal, and then it was done, and they sent the jury out to deliberate late. It was like 4 p.m. in Florida at that time. And some states, when the courthouse closes, you're done too. You can't deliberate into the night. In other states, yes, you can. You can stay as long as you want. So in this case, they stayed. Which I thought was super interesting because usually, if they're not, if they start deliberating at 4, if they're not in alignment, they're probably going to go home at 5 and come back and try again tomorrow. But this jury did not. They kept going and going, and about 8 o'clock, they were back with a verdict. So it took them just under 3 or just over 3 hours to convict Donna Adelson on all 3 counts. Her crime was she helped to hire a hitman to murder her ex-son-in-law because the guy had the nerve to want to be a parent to his children and wouldn't just let them, waltz off into the sunset with those kids and move them to another part of the state and just kind of cut him off from his own kids. He wasn't that dad. And so he kept fighting them in court and, continued to, play a big role in their life, and that was just too much for these people. Sad deal. But anyway, she is the fifth person to go to prison for this crime. And the state has their eyes on at least one more person. There were three hitmen, and well, one that organized it and two people that did the hit, and then this is the second family member to go to prison, and it looks like there may be one more. So, yeah. Very aggressive. And then our story from yesterday was what really happened to Seamus McDevitt. He's a local kid that was killed a few years ago in a very suspicious accident. And some suspicious things have happened since that make you wonder if there's maybe some corruption going on. So we covered it and talked about that. I also, in this episode from last night, covered Cardi B. Did you guys see Cardi B in court last week? Oh my God. So Cardi B was sued. She was sued by a security guard who claimed that Cardi B attacked her and slashed her face with her fingernails. You know, she always has really big, fancy nails, right? So she, as the story goes, Cardi B was going to her obstetrician, her OBGYN. And so she had helped it. So she'd made a plan with the OB's office that she'd come in after hours on a Saturday afternoon so that there would be no one else in the office because nobody knew she was pregnant and she wanted to keep it that way for a while. And, she was going to the gynecologist for God's sake. You know, she wanted to have some kind of privacy. I know, weird, right? So, of course, she did. So she left her security guards in the car because As she said on the stand in front of the judge, she didn't really want all those men that work for her to know she was going to the vagina doctor. Anyway, so when she gets into the building, there's a security guard who starts filming her and screaming on video to her friends that, oh my God, Cardi B's here. Cardi B must be pregnant. And they got into an altercation. According to Cardi B, it was just a screaming match, basically, telling her to leave her alone and put her phone away. And the security guard telling her she could do whatever she wanted. And then telling her that if she didn't like it, she could leave the building, and tried to, like, make her leave. And then the receptionist and the doctor heard the commotion and came out and got Cardi. And subsequently, the security guard was fired for her unprofessional behavior. And that's what happened. But then several years down the road, the security guard files a $24 million lawsuit against Cardi B, claims that she slashed up her face with her fingernails and that she had to have two plastic surgeries, and, you know, basically is trying to squeeze her for a bunch of money. So anyway, Cardi B says, all right, fine, we'll go to jury trial. We'll see what the jury thinks. Because the girl who was supposedly injured didn't even have any medical records to prove that she'd had surgeries or that she had any injuries. Anyway, Cardi B on the stand was the funniest thing I have ever seen in court. She was just very unapologetically herself. You don't get on the stand and use the F word very often, but she does. At one point, the claimant's attorney asked her if she called the security guard fat, and she said, "Fat? No, I called her a bitch." Oh my gosh! Anyway, if you haven't watched any clips of Cardi B on the stand, you should, just for the comedic value. But anyway, the jury they deliberated for 1 hour and decided that Cardi B wasn't actually on the hook for anything, because there was literally no proof that she did anything. So anyway, I did include that in the last of our episode last night if you want to go watch it, or just go look up the clips from Cardi B's trial. Just some very wild stuff. All right, lots of meditations over at Planet Meditation. And of course, a lot of this is binaural beats or solfeggio tones that you could just play at any time. For deep sleep, for relaxation, for studying, for concentration, or just, you know, as you're going about your day, doing your daily chores. It's great music to just have on board. And there you have it. That is Luminous this week. Sid said, oh, maybe the pigs don't like the odor of sulfur compounds. I think that's what's right, because they're all in the same family. Maybe pigs can't metabolize onions, like dogs eating onions. So pigs, their metabolism and their digestive system is very similar to humans. So the rule of thumb is, if you can eat it, so can they. Because I wondered about that with onions, too. That's always a scary one, right? But it doesn't really apply to them the way it does to us. Or to, like, to dogs. So, yeah, luckily that's not a worry. But I wondered about that, too, Sid. But I think it is the sulfur compounds. And pigs have incredible senses of smell. And yeah, there is something about those vegetables that just offend the hell out of them. Cooked or raw, doesn't matter. They won't touch them. Yeah. So I think we're going to have a few minutes for readings today. So if there's anything I can help you with, let me know. As you know, I am a professional psychic advisor over at 12listen.com. And of course, you can find me over there every day doing readings, healings, animal communication, mediumship. I'll help you with anything that I can. Lots of energy work at 12listen. A lot of past life work. It really depends on the season, interestingly. There's just certain times where I find a lot of people looking towards past lives. Interesting. But Lillian, you asked a question earlier in the show that I thought bore an answer. You said, do you believe in ghosts? She said, are ghosts real? I like to think they are, not just the Hollywood stuff. I absolutely do believe in ghosts. Yeah, Well, I mean, I'm a medium, so I do occasionally talk to the dead, but I have seen a ghost. Have you? One time, we were at this place in Idaho Falls, Idaho, called oh no, now I can't remember. The Water Something Mansion. Not much of a mansion anymore, but it was when it was built. And is this very old house that this lady bought and turned into a little tea house. So you could book a tea party with her and go, and she would put on this fancy, she had all of this antique and vintage dishware, and she'd set this gorgeous Victorian table, like the most beautiful dishware you've ever seen. And just really cool stuff, vintage, like Victorian things that you've never seen anywhere else. She also had a dress-up station where you were to put on a lady's hat and perhaps a shawl or some baubles or beads or gloves, various things. But you had an opportunity to fix up like a Victorian lady, all the while she's giving you education. An education on the manners of the day. And in fact, one person was always the manners fairy and received a wand. And if somebody was breaking the rules, if their manners weren't up to snuff, you could give them a little reminder with the wand. I mean, did we hit each other with it? Yeah, because we're absolute children. I don't think you were supposed to, but you know. But she would teach us. I've been to her tea parties a few times, so I've heard this a few times. But what you were to say is, Mabel, Mabel, this is not a stable. Kindly take your elbows off the table. And then you get the whack. Anyway, so long story short, one time at her tea parties, my mom saw. And then she elbowed me, and I saw the back of him, a man that walked through. And to the best of our knowledge, we were here alone. So she would set up the tea party, she'd get you going on a course, and then she'd disappear for a while. And then she'd come back and, bring you the next course. It was like a 5-course event, little like butter sandwiches, and then cookies or whatever, and cake, and all the while you're drinking all of this tea, as well as lavender lemonade that she made from the lavender she grew in her garden. It was pretty cool. You could also tour her garden, which was fun. But at any rate, so in one of these times where she was off doing her thing, a man just walked down the hall and into the kitchen. He didn't make any noise. There was just a man going. And so my mom was like, I really think that was a ghost. I don't think there's a man in this house. So when she came back, she asked her, hey, is there a man here? And she's like, I'm the only one here. She's like, but that is, she's like, it was probably, and she told us the name of him. This house was the governor's mansion a billion years ago in Idaho Falls. And back when Idaho Falls was the county seat, when or the not the county seat, but was the a place where the governor would come. And I don't think we were ever the state cap the capital, city, but this was like where the governor would come on this side of the state when he'd come to do business. So it was a governor's mansion, and that was clear back when Idaho Falls was called Eagle Rock. But anyway, blah blah blah. Anyhow, so she said, yeah, he comes here frequently. And then she told us about two or three different ghosts that she sees in that house every once in a while. Pretty interesting. One time we were called to a local theater, which I probably told you guys this before, but theaters are insanely haunted. And they had all of these sightings of different people in the theater, and they called us to come over to the theater and do a little ghost hunt of sorts and see what we could find. One thing that many people had reported was seeing this crying girl, probably 18 to 20-ish, in a long green dress with her hair piled on her head, sobbing, walking up and down the aisles of the theater, or sometimes during events in the top part of the theater, crying. Some women had reported seeing her in the bathroom, crying. Like, there are dozens of reports of seeing this girl in the bathroom. There's also reports of seeing a woman in a white dress wandering around, and a whole bunch of other things. So, anyway, we went. We did make contact with that girl. Apparently, there was a fire in that theater in the about 100 years ago. I ish, like around the first part of the 1900s, and her love was lost in that fire. And she's still there, looking for him. Anyway, lots of interesting things at that theater, but I absolutely believe that ghosts wander around. There's also a place I visited in Seattle. We went on a ghost tour there years ago, and there's this building where there was this traveling troupe of performers that were traveling to various cities and staging these this ropes act where they would leap off of high-rise buildings and their ropes would catch them before they hit the ground. And it was kind of a big daredevil thing back in the 80s that people would come and watch and, give tips and pay for and whatnot. And there was an incident in Seattle with one of these troupes where somebody jumped off the building and their rope broke and he hit the sidewalk right in front of this huge crowd of people that were watching and died. It was this awful thing, huge trauma, as you can imagine. And they had investigated it for foul play, but basically what they decided is that the rope was actually they got their ropes from marinas. They got their ropes from boats and stuff like that, and they think this rope was just actually really rotted and just had started to fray, and maybe they didn't notice it. But anyway, so hundreds of people, thousands of people probably in Seattle have seen this person jump off the building and land on the sidewalk at various times. Particularly, they say, on the anniversary of his death date. But that's a really well-known story in that area of Seattle that this guy occasionally comes back and you can see him jumping off the building again and reenacting his death. I always thought that was a super interesting story that so many different people had experienced it. Yeah. Sid said I used to have to wait for my parents all by myself backstage at the huge San Francisco Opera House. That place is loaded with history. I felt like there'd definitely be ghosts. Would pray I wouldn't encounter one, especially in the restroom. I'm sure it's very haunted. Yeah. Something about the energy of performance, I think, really attracts spiritual activity. Yeah. Lillian said, my trip to the DC area in December that has me wondering if anything romantic is going to happen. My gut feeling is no at this point. So I'm going to say no, but that's a movable no. Sherry, could you tell me about my job? Do you see me staying here in the next year and will I move up? Yes, and probably. The move up part, yes, you're going to stay. The move up part, you're either going to move up or you're going to move over. Meaning, I think it is a move up, but it might not be as significant of a move up as you would like, if that makes any sense at all. But I feel like it puts you more on the path to be where you want to be and kind of gets you out of the crossfire of folks that I know you're very sick of working with. So, yeah. She says, yay, I'll take it. Yeah, I know. You need a change there desperately. I feel like you are wanted there more than you realize. I think you get taken, for granted a lot, but I do feel like they want you to stay. So, for what it's worth, there is that. Okay. Well, I think we've done it and talked down to the end of the show. So, I hope that you guys have a fantastic week. I hope you get some things done you wanted to do. I hope you lay on the couch for a while and do absolutely nothing and give yourself all the permissions to do it. I hope that you drink a pumpkin spice latte because it's tis the season, unless you hate such a thing, and then definitely don't. But I hope you do something good for yourself this week. Please do something good for yourself this week. Just because you can. Because you should. And I will be over here pulling for you to do exactly that. Don't forget, I'm a professional psychic advisor over at onetolisten.com, and you can find me over there literally every day, 365. Yes. All righty. Well, there you have it. This has been yet another production of The Katie Weaver Show here on One Two Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world. Take care.